Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackwitz. And just seconds ago, he's like, my life has just changed. So Bob, what's going on?
Well, Matt, it's not David Clarkson coming back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand even. I know it happened.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
We will.
In the right way.
So we get David Clarkson and we're going to lose Marcus Stroman. It's a weird week.
It is. It is. We'll get to it about forget sports. Get to you.
So quickly, my naturopath, I did a blood screen. I can't remember if I talked about this on the pod, but we discovered that my body produces antigens to just about everything.
Okay.
So my diet has become more restrictive than ever.
Oh no, even more?
Even more. No rice, no lentils, no beans, no fish.
What do you eat? That's not normal. Human beings weren't meant to do that.
No, I know. We're basically tightening the belt a little bit to get my gut working again.
Okay.
And then I'm sure I'll add some of that stuff back.
Yeah.
But like the eggs, dairy, all that kind of stuff, wildly.
What was your meals yesterday? What did you eat yesterday?
I had grilled chicken and vegetables.
Okay.
Parsed throughout the day.
Okay. And then, so that's just
Shake in the morning, which was...
What's in the shake?
Blueberries, avocado, hemp hearts.
Yep.
And carrots.
Okay.
It was fine.
And was it water with that? Was it?
Yeah, it was water.
Okay.
Like I could do hemp milk.
You could do hemp milk. Hemp milk sounds expensive.
It's also not very tasty.
No. No. Like almond milk's not that tasty. And almond milk's supposed to be the tasty non-dairy version. And it's not that good.
So anyway, I feel great, actually, to tell you the truth. Honestly, great. Like, I feel really, really good. Like good. Better than I have in years. And I highly recommend to anybody... Naturopaths aren't cheap, but if you're going to spend money on something,
yeah,
you know, you could buy like 8 bottles of wine or you could go see a naturopath.
I'll go with the bottles of wine.
Right.
And but the Wagyu.
It's a choice. Yeah, if you look at the summer and say, what am I going to do in August? I could go see a naturopath or I could drink 8 bottles of wine.
Yeah. Yes. 8 bottles. That's all I would drink in a month.
All right. So here's the thing, Matt. I'm back in the gym and... I have a special motivation that I should probably discuss. My wife is super behind this, and it's kind of the next direction of my life. Let me rewind and begin again. So my mom graduated from U of T a little while ago.
That's right. You guys had the graduation ceremony. It's fantastic.
And the guy who spoke as the convocation guest speaker was the president of University College, and I hated him. Like, not personally, but during that speech. Because he just talked about himself the whole time.
Oh, really?
Like, as an example, he said, you know, and then I went to graduate school at a very prestigious American university. And I thought, you know, the kids here just spent 4 years in a ton of dough and late nights, you know, eating Nescafe to keep going. Like, they don't want to hear that you went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a couple other things he dropped. And I thought, and then he mentioned in his thing that he, in order to get over the stress... of his demanding academic career, he took up swimming. And in fact, to this day, is a competitive swimmer.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, right. So I thought, okay, I'm going to beat you. And I made it my goal at that moment to join the same swim club as this guy.
Really?
Never tell him.
Yeah.
And then race him until I win. And then explain to him exactly what just happened. That dating back however many years it takes to that speech... that I made the goal that I would eventually beat that guy in a race. Because during his speech, he talked about how, you know, he broke from family tradition where, you know, his family were a bunch of doctors, but he decided to get his PhD in math, which was quite a scandal.
Oh, Barry, what a pompous asshole.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, truthfully, maybe he's a great guy. Maybe he's a wonderful human being.
I don't think so, because his best moment should have been there.
Well, at any point. So I told my wife, I said, look, like, I'm going to start swimming now all the time.
Yeah.
And eventually I'm just going to beat this guy in a race.
Okay.
And then I'm going to stop.
Okay. We got a lot to unpack here. First, here's what I'd like to see.
People are saying, why don't you talk about David Clarkson? That I can understand.
No one understands that. That's the sneaky thing there. But we'll get there.
Okay.
I like the idea of, like, in Rocky IV, he's got a picture of Drago on the mirror in the bathroom. You need to have a picture of this guy and you need to have it in your bathroom mirror. So you need that as motivation, him staring at you.
Do you want to hear something eerie?
What?
one of Charlotte had a play date yesterday, and one of the parents came over. We were laughing about my plan.
Yeah.
I actually used that image. I actually said it's going to be like Rocky and Drago.
Yep.
By the way, I looked this guy's times up.
Yeah.
Like, because I Googled his name, mm-hmm. and then I saw Swim Club, and I went to Masters Club, and they were races.
Yep.
I don't think I can beat him. He's pretty fast.
Is he?
Yeah, he looks really fast.
Okay, well.
And he does the butterfly, which I don't even swim.
Oh, the butterfly. Damn, that's intense.
I know. Am I going to learn? But I have to learn butterfly or else
Anyone can do aggressive front crawl, but butterfly.
You actually have to know how to swim really well.
Yeah, like that's a lot of technique. You're going to have to take swimming lessons.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I did 2K yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to have to ramp it up because I actually looked at what the master's training programs looks like.
Yeah.
That was basically warm up.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be doing 5-6K every time I get in the pool.
Okay, Bob, I'm going to tell you something right now. I just realized this.
Okay.
Avengers Unite.
Huh?
You can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. And I'm going to tell you, Bob, I'm here to help you.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Because here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I know how to be pompous.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun character. I like to play the villain on radio all the time. So I'm going to infiltrate. I'm going to be friends with this guy. But you know what I'm going to do to him? I'm going to introduce him to the world of wine, the world of charcuterie boards, the world of decadence. I'm going to introduce him to my world. So as you're getting in better shape, I'm going to get him in worse shape.
It's like Robert Redford in The Natural. You're going to be Kim Basinger.
I am going to be Kim Basinger.
You're going to distract him
yes.
and confuse him.
Yes.
And then I'll be the, I guess in this analogy, the other good Robert Redford. Anyway.
Yeah. Or doesn't Deborah Winger also shoot Robert Redford?
Yes. I think it's Deborah Winger. No, it's Barbara Hershey.
Barbara Hershey. Thank you. Anyone under 30, Google
And Sandra will be Glenn Close.
Yep. Sandra will be Glenn Close. She'll be standing there in her very modest frock, you know, in the middle of the crowd of the baseball game. But yeah, so while you're getting better shape, I'm going to just woo him in my decadent world just to slow him down. Just to slow him down just enough.
So, Matt, I finally found the thing that can keep me on the straight and narrow when it comes to my health goals.
Yeah.
For years, I tried things like meditation,
yeah.
positive thinking,
yeah.
visualization.
Yeah.
But in the end, as with all things with me, it came back to the same stuff, spite and revenge.
It's a great one. It really is. Like
when Jordan at the at the NBA Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, Jordan every day of his life. You know, I think you always the motivation of I want to feel better about myself. It doesn't work because when you're eating pie, you feel pretty damn good. Now you feel horrible afterwards, but you feel great during it. But revenge, spite, fear. Like when I had to lose all my weight for my hernia, I did it because I didn't want to go there and all the doctors look at me and go, and you know, they're doing surgery. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll lose all the weight. So I lost it all. And I haven't really had that, the real carrot, not the bullshit one of, I want to feel better about myself and more energy. That's a lovely one. That's not always a sustaining motivational tool. So, I like it. I love it.
Thanks, Matt.
And I also know what I love. I love that Sandra is 100% behind you. Because a lot of partners would be like, what the hell are you doing? And you're not doing that.
No, she's 100% behind it. In fact, it's eerie how into it she is.
Yeah.
She's never taken a single interest in anything I've ever done.
That's true.
Right?
Like, that's true.
Has she ever listened to the pod?
No.
No. The only time she's ever heard it, somehow magically, is the few times we've ever ripped her.
Someone's told her.
There's maybe.
There's a snitch. Like in The Departed, there's a rat. Someone is. You know what we should do?
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
I feel a little cheese.
You know what we should do?
Mm-hmm.
In this pod, if you want to rank the top three women you've ever made love to, that is not Sandra, and then we'll see if there's a snitch. Because if Sandra, the next day or two, if she's. Well, now the problem is.
I thought we were going to wait to talk about Angelina Jolie until the Marvel movie.
I see what you did there.
No, your suggestion, Matt?
Yeah.
I would never do.
Yeah.
I would never do.
Chicken.
Yep.
You're such a chicken. But if we're going to go on tangents, and by the way, in a second, we're going to get David Clarkson. Think of
What minute mark are we at, by the way? Because this might be the single least relevant intro to a show we've ever done.
9 minutes and about 18
You're kidding.
Seconds. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Just talk. I can't. Look.
One more thing. Think of the range of Glenn Close. We're going to hot Glenn Close talk.
Okay.
From The Natural and her character to
Fatal Attraction.
To Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
That's some range.
That is range.
She,
I think she dated Cam Neely for a while.
What?
Back in the 80s, yeah.
Hockey talk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bruins executive, Cam Neely.
Bruins executive.
Prototypical power forward, hey, Cam Neely.
Kick his ass, Seabass. So.
All right. David Clarkson.
Here's how I described what happened with David Clarkson. And I used this analogy with Carlo this morning on the morning show. And I had to hit him over the head with it. He wasn't getting it. But can you build, or do you know how to design and build a remote control?
A remote control? Yeah, like the one if I turned on my TV?
Yeah.
Can I design and build it?
Yeah.
No.
Thank
In fact, they're really complicated ones. I can't even operate it.
But do you know how to operate yours?
Yeah.
You hit the button, you feel good. It turns on, right? Mm-hmm. You know how to turn the channel, last channel, menu guide. It's all there. That's how I feel what's happened with the Leafs. Here's what I know. I know the surface. David Clarkson came, and because of that, the Leafs have more salary cap and a little more flexibility. So the arrival of David Clarkson, who of course will never play, means the Leafs have a better chance of a greater chance of resolving the contract talks with Mitch Marner sooner rather than later. That's what everyone has said. Then when everyone starts getting into the weeds of it or the LTIRs, that's when I zone out. Same thing. I don't know how to put the remote together, but I know the surface level. I know how to make it work, and that's enough for me. So good job, Leafs. You've done something sneaky with the salary cap, and it's helping with Marner.
I think this is a brilliant analogy. So I sit down, and I want to watch season 3 of Stranger Things. Uh-huh. Great. I don't need to know how the TV works.
No.
I just need to know,
yeah,
do I hope these kids defeat the Mind Flayer?
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
That's a great point. It's funny because I, generally speaking, I try to understand the mechanics of how stuff works.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cap is a bit of a, you know, because there's so many legal sides.
And then the LTIR, and then, well, then by October 1st, it means this. And if you put them here, this means that. And then at some point, I just zone out. Like my eyes roll back. I'm like, oh, I'm done with you.
The Mueller report is about 450 pages.
Yeah.
Some people have read it.
Mm-hmm.
I never will.
Yeah.
All I need to know is, okay, so is the guy a crook or not?
Well, we kind of know
We kind of know.
Right? Is he crooked enough to get impeached?
That's actually a better question.
Yeah.
Well said.
And clearly he's not.
Right. But you don't need
to
read the Mueller report.
Yeah.
You just need the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's the same thing here. And I try for 4 hours not to go into the weeds. Like, I stayed at the top of the show.
For today's show.
Yeah, I was like, I'd rather talk about the fact I got my back waxed yesterday. I'd rather do that conversation and how it relates to Mark Sanchez than I want anything to do with getting into the hardcore details. Do we want to discuss Garrett Sparks and what went right, what went wrong? Sure. But I don't want 2 minutes of LTIR because that is TMI. Yo, I wish I'd thought of that this morning.
Wait, ready?
Hmm.
TMI for TML.
I like it.
Garrett Sparks is the more interesting part of the conversation in the immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Your point's 100% right. They did this so they could sign Mitch Marner. Everybody wants that. Bring back our sports. Happy. There you go.
Brandon Pridham was one of the guys who wrote the CBA. So if any guy knows how to weasel his way around in a smart, clever, maybe devious way, Pridham would want to be one of those guys.
Spirit of the law versus letter of the law, Matt? Yeah.
Always pick the spirit.
Okay, so Garrett Sparks. We don't really know that the Leafs have a dependable backup goalie.
Nope.
What we do know is that the league more and more is trending towards tandems.
Mm-hmm.
And that Freddie Anderson, as good as he's been in the regular season, hasn't really stolen them. Well, he hasn't stolen them a playoff series yet.
Nope.
How do we feel about this? I think Sparks leaving we don't so much care about. Do we?
Man, that guy had so much potential, what he did with the Marlies. But I'm not the guy that can pretend to tell you. I watched his technique to say that 4 years down the road with the right coach and he'll be a star. I go more the big picture. The fact that you said the league is trending towards tandems. You saw that with St. Louis. You saw that with Boston. You know, you didn't see that with Toronto. Now, was Mike Babcock happy that he was stuck with Sparks? No. But it's the coach's job to sometimes work with the players that he doesn't want. And I don't know if Sparks was really set up to succeed. And I don't know how much Babcock has embraced the idea of tandem.
So I'm pretty sure that Babcock, once he decides he doesn't like a guy, I'm pretty sure that guy never gets out of the doghouse. That was always the word on him in Detroit. And it seems to be the word on him in Toronto. If he doesn't like you and he sees you a certain way, like whether you're Frankie Corrado or whoever,
yeah.
if he sees you in a certain way, that's who you are to Mike Babcock forever.
Yeah, and by the
fair
way,
fair or not.
And by the way, Sparks wasn't very good. No one's going to go, shame on you. Did you see how well Garrett Sparks played? However, maybe if you'd embraced him more, used him more, and kept your, and just, you know, and did whatever you could, maybe Sparks would have been 12% better and Anderson could have had four less starts.
And you're right. In between the pipes, he didn't do anything to distinguish himself. Quite the opposite. But the thing about Babcock, and I don't want to turn this into what's wrong with Mike Babcock, but for all the things,
now's the time.
Yeah, fair enough. For all the things that went wrong, I don't know that he's the kind of guy who's going to help a player get through something. I guess he kind of helped Freddie over his rough, tough start when he first became a Leaf. Remember, yep. his first few starts were kind of meh. But then again, he was also trying to get him to play in a different style.
Yeah.
And then eventually gave up on that and said, well, you do you. And that seemed to work out just fine for him. When Jake Muzzin gets to town, how does he help him acclimate? This isn't the deal I would have done, but yeah. whatever.
Yeah. Left side, hey, right side.
Right. Welcome to town.
Yeah.
He seems pretty candid. So I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but it feels like the whole organization lost faith in him. And if that was what was needed to make this deal, clearly the benefits of increased cap space outweigh any thoughts of Sparks turning his career around.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, you're right. Then even if it meant sacrificing a couple regular season wins, maybe she just played Sparks more, just put him out there, give him a couple more games so that maybe Anderson is healthier and more rested. For the
so playoffs. Here's what I don't understand. MLSE is as invested in the upper echelon thinking around sports as any organization,
sports
in North
science,
America,
all that stuff, right? All the technology.
So there must be an ideal number of starts for Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, 74.
Right. If yeah, exactly. If going back to 74, right? If he was tired by the time he got to the playoffs, wouldn't MLSE and their scientists be the first to know that, the mm-hmm. first to acknowledge it, and the first to change it? Like, why are we, you and I, Matt and Bob, talking about this when they have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars allocated to yeah. answering these kinds of questions?
They have far more info than we do.
I'm assuming they're doing it right. So why does it look so wrong? It's That's the question. Part I don't get.
It's a great question. Yeah, because I'll never do the arrogance of knowing more of what's going on there because I'm not there. But if you just sometimes just take a step back and just look at the basic facts. Was Frederick Anderson played too much 2 years ago? Yes. What happened against Boston late? Mm. Was Frederick Anderson played too much this year? Yes. Did Anderson steal them a series? No. So why?
So here's the next question I have is, as we know from the Republican Party, not all science is necessarily paid attention to.
Yeah.
Climate change.
Sure.
Under Lou Lamoriello, he liked his starters to play a lot of games. That was his Marty Brodeur fascination. And
it worked because he had Brodeur.
It worked, right. And it worked because he had Brodeur. Mike Babcock obviously likes to lean on one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think goalies are complicated for any coach. You know, almost nobody played the position and they're so mercurial. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, just who knows anything. So the fear becomes the science is there, but the willingness to ignore the science is also there. That's the fear. Did that happen? I don't know. But it's believable given the fact that there's a lot of other clearly obvious statistical, I would think on paper, like Matthews playing at least 20 minutes a game in the playoffs would be.
That'd be super.
A no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
So the willingness to not go along with logic also seems part and parcel of Babcock's style.
So then, and you're going to see this analogy coming a mile away. You'll know in a couple seconds. So in this case, Mike Babcock is playing the role of Quint on the boat, full speed, nodding his head as Richard Dreyfuss is pleading, and Roy Scheider are pleading, slow the boat down. And Quint's like, I ain't paying attention. I've killed a lot of sharks before. You know, you college types, and you don't even like to swim. I'll do it my way.
It's a great analogy. I believe we've made it on the pod before.
Many times.
My favorite part of that whole sequence, and I probably have brought this up before too. It is the head.
Yeah.
No, but no, that is my favorite part. Yeah. But there's also another part I really like where he's clearly scared, Quint is, mm-hmm. and he knows he can't beat the shark.
Yeah.
And he says, we're going to take him into the shallows. We're going to take him into the shallows. We're going to drown him.
Yeah.
So the plan is to drown the fish.
Yeah. Not a great plan.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just like in that moment, he can't say, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So he's got to come up with anything he can. We're going in, Chief Brody. We're going to Drown them.
So good.
Love it. I got a question for you, Matt.
Yeah.
I feel like hockey needs to be more fun right now because we're talking in July about, you know,
LTIR.
Right, and cap and
all
that stuff. So I'm going to steal a point that Bill Simmons made on a recent podcast and one that he's made a bunch of times before about how to make the NBA season more fun and palatable. And the idea of a playoff scenario, like a play-in scenario, either a play-in game to get into the playoffs or some kind of play-in tourney where like 7 versus 10 and 8 versus 9 play one game to take the final spots. What do you think?
Yeah, my first thought is always very skepticism. Skepticism that the PA is going to be on board with it. Also, it won't be, my question is, it won't be embraced in the first year by the fan base. But if you stick with it, it will be embraced by the 10th year. You know, that's always my question about it. I'm all for, you know, changing things up. Because really, in the end, we're talking about one thing. How to make the regular season
More meaningful.
Just making it meaningful and making it count from as close as you can get to games 1 to 82, which is incredibly hard to do. And would a play-in tournament do that?
For me, it would.
It would. You know what? It would more in the NHL than it would the NBA because the LA Kings won as an 8 seed, even though that's not a great example because in the next couple of years, they were really good. They just seemed to underachieve that regular season. But St. Louis was in last on January 2nd, and they won the Stanley Cup. So it's one of those things where if you get in, anything can happen. So yes, I think in hockey, more so than basketball, because
in basketball, you're just served up as the sacrificial lamb.
Exactly. Hey, look, or, you know, who's a team that just missed getting in the playoffs? Like, yeah, or just even just like the Pistons or Orlando or the Nets. We knew that those teams weren't going to win. But yeah, I think it would work in hockey. I think it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, to your point, if the 8 seed can do it, then why couldn't the 9 seed?
Yeah.
Or even the 10 seed.
Nashville got to the finals. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just not that much difference when you get to the... And it's so much more competitive, the 1 versus 8.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Columbus beat Tampa Bay. That was historic.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
They swept them.
But it does feel like stuff like that happens all the time in
it does
NHL.
In hockey. It does, yeah.
And it got me to think about how... My instinct would be to say that's stupid, but that's because I'm used to a certain playoff format. But the NHL has changed its playoff format tons of times. 2 out of 3 games, 3 out of 5 games, 4 out of 7 games. You know, it's 1 versus 16. Oh, now it's going to be seeded this way. Like, they've changed it up plenty of times over the last 20 or 30 years. So I don't know that their format is sacrosanct. And in the end, like, isn't everything just about generating TV moments?
Yeah. Well, first I'd go 1 through 16.
For sure.
Right now, I wouldn't do it. So Toronto's playing Boston the first round, but I'm biased. I think the idea of play-in, something late in the season, something to, you know, keep so that the teams that are out of it, maybe they've still got a chance to make it. I like that. I have a way, and I was talking about it today. I think the way of making every NHL game more entertaining, I got a way to do it. Everyone seems to like those Bachelor shows or Bachelorette, Survivor, Big Brother, all these shows. There's one thing they have in common. They all have their version of the confessional, where it's them in the camera, you know, either talking trash about Tina, talking about their strategy, or, you know.
Are you going to say play a penalty box confessionals?
I am again, Bob.
It's the worst idea.
How? Think about this. Boston is playing Colorado.
Okay.
And Kadri dives, but Marchand gets the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Marchand and his big nose are going into the penalty box. And in the penalty box is a reporter just going, Brad, why are you here? And then, Brad, do you think you belong here? Brad, your thoughts on Kadri? Brad, your thoughts on the officials? Just those 4 questions, and he has to give an answer. Because a lot of times, they're going to say no comment. But that can be funny when they say it through gritted teeth. Other times, they might give an answer. You're telling me, between periods, what do you want to hear? You know, the boring talk about how the team needs to cycle the puck, or the best of penalty box confessional?
Matt, earlier I articulated my plan to do 100,000 meters of swimming over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Out of some silly sense of...
Revenge,
spite, whatever.
Against that douchebag.
So this idea that you just mentioned can't be the worst one on today's pod. How is this it can't be.
But how is this a bad idea? I mean, beyond the fact that no one would go for it, if they were forced to, you're telling me you wouldn't want to hear an angry, riled up hockey player who just felt hard done by what they might say in the first 30 seconds.
29-year-old Maverick sports TV producer Bob Mackowitz would love this idea.
Yeah.
But 49-year-old Bob Mackowitz just wants to watch the game.
Bob, you can put this together and you can play it during, you know, in between periods. You know what you also can do with this, Bob? And now get on your 49-year-old producer hat.
Okay.
Now this goes on the NHL.com. They put the videos out. And now it's sponsored. And now you get to go and watch all these videos. And now they're out there. The best ones. The best freakouts. Whoa, can you believe what he said about this?
Do you want me to actually give you the real reasons why it won't work?
Oh, I know all the real reasons it won't work. Because the NHL wouldn't allow it.
Right, well, because you'd be throwing the referees under the bus.
I know. How great would that be?
Terrible.
You'd be throwing other players under the bus. How great would it be to
referees are like our democratic institutions. Mm-hmm. Are they flawed? Absolutely. But if you piss on them enough and they go away, you're left with chaos. And then you go, what happened to our democratic institutions? And a sport where nobody believes in the refs is no fun to watch.
Okay. I have another thought here. So now imagine, I just thought of this, Brad Marchand.
And his big nose?
And his big nose. His just huge checking. Nose. Clearly, he punched a guy in the back of the head, and he gets whistled for it.
That could happen.
That could happen. Now, imagine this, a split screen. You have Brad Marchand saying, I don't know why I'm here. And in the other side of the screen is a replay of him punching the guy in the head over and over again. Think of the comedy of the player trying his best to be incredulous as the video evidence is right there. I don't understand how this isn't funny shit. Okay. Like, I would laugh my ass off at this.
All right, it is. And now I'm going to take this idea seriously, but not in the way that you throw it out there, as part of the overall package.
Yeah.
The game itself. Mm-hmm. What sports desperately needs, and Twitter kind of provides this unofficially, is the secondary conversations, the director's cut conversations. Yeah. The Olympics in London in 2012, the BBC hired two comedians to commentate the games, and they did it like it was funny.
Yeah.
And everybody over there loved it because they were, as they would say, taking the piss out of the games and saying what everybody at home is thinking.
Yeah.
What I'm waiting for, and we've talked about this, is that when you buy your game package, you actually select what coverage do you want. If politics is going to go this route and I can choose what news do I want, why can I not choose what kind of coverage I want for my sports?
100%. And I give an example. The Bill Burr podcast. This was ages ago. You know, he's it's every Monday and it's just him for like an hour just riffing. And one time he did how he would do basketball. And he's like, and the black guy to the black guy, passes over the black guy, and the white guy. No, don't shoot white guy. Okay, white guy gets over. Okay, good, good. White guy doesn't have it back. Like, he did this whole funny bit and it was hilarious.
All right, so that's the cause feed.
Yeah.
You could go high analytics.
You know,
the conversation people don't want to hear talk about character and grit and that. Okay, cool. Well, then get the one where Myrtle and Jonah Siegel are doing the play-by-play.
They're talking about Nylander, again, dominating with the zone entries.
I keep, you know, and I think where we see this most interestingly, and we don't talk enough about it in this country, is the Omni Punjabi version of Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I love it. Now, I can't follow it because I don't speak the language.
Yeah.
Sometimes I flip by just to marvel at how there's this whole other presentation happening, like this whole other world connected to the same thing I'm watching.
Well, to add to that, what do we love doing in radio? Big moments in sports? Give me the Spanish call.
Right.
Give me, you know, our other countries. South Korea. Those the announcers there do great stuff. And, like, you know, we love it just because it sounds different and the energy is often higher and it's fun.
Before TSN voluntarily decided to end our bromance.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was more Bell. It was really more cuts across Canada.
I guess.
It was, you know, it was Bell cutting everyone.
I guess so. Jays on Espanol was one of my favorite bits because we couldn't play the highlights from the Jays games.
That's right.
Remember you and I used to?
Yeah.
Jays on Espanol. Yeah. And then there would all be these fantastic calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Hey, I want to do a quick Jays talk before we move on.
We got listener questions.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
You got some in?
Yeah. I harvest a whole bunch.
All right. Well, can I throw one out to you quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Stroman, probably going to be traded this week. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preferred destination and will you miss him?
No, I don't have a preferred destination. I mean, maybe Atlanta, that'd be fun. Teaming up him with Anthopoulos.
Right.
Will I miss him? This is the first year where I will miss him. I actually grew to like him more this year than the last couple of years. I'll also remember, and we forget about it all the time, I yammer about it. In 2015, he injured himself in spring training, and he worked his ass off, and he got back and joined the team in time for the playoffs. That was heart, grit, sacrifice, everything that we love in sports, and we forgot about it because, rightfully so, he's been a dick to a lot of people in the media. And this is not me defending the media. This is me defending humanity. Hey, human, be nice to other humans. But he feels different this year. He's saying all the right things. I kind of feel bad for him a little bit. So, yeah, I will miss Marcus Stroman. And if you want to have fun, look at the Jays' rotation. Just look at it in terms of innings pitched or games started. When Stroman is gone, holy Lord.
How many starters have they had this year? Do you know off the top of your head?
No idea. No idea. I was looking up going, wait, Clay Buchholz, is he still here? Like, I was looking it up today, and I had a couple times reading names out there. I'm like, is that guy still on the team? Or has he been demoted or injured?
I might just look this up, because I wonder how many names I've just forgotten, and it's only July.
Yeah, but I'll miss him. I don't have a destination. What about you?
I think that the fact that the Yankees is certainly a very potential landing spot for him. And nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
Indicates how beaten down the fan base is and how ready to move on we are. Like, even when Troy Tulowitzki went to the Yankees, people were like, oh, I wonder if that's going to come back and haunt the Jays.
Yeah.
Nobody cares now.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, honestly, it used to be any talk, like Jay Happ going to the Yankees. Oh, anybody but the Yankees. That was always the killer, right? Yeah. Like, David Price. Oh, no, Boston.
The Jays aren't good enough to care.
No, just nobody cares. Like, your best player is going to go to your biggest enemy,
just get
your
the best greatest asset rival you can.
Just don't even care. Like, this fan base is so ready to turn the page that honestly you could trade him to the Ottawa Senators and nobody would care anymore.
Eugene Melnick's not gonna pay.
That's a good point. Not baseball prices.
Yeah.
That's what really jumps out at me. And you know what? I don't know if I'm rooting for him or not rooting for him, because as you say, he's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
There's some great moments and there's some low moments.
Yeah.
But the Yankees are a perfect fit. I was looking up their team ERA. They're 20th overall.
But maybe 20th overall, like 7th in the AL. I don't know what that puts them in the National League, but yeah. And
give up a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
He's the perfect, and their bullpen is so damn good. If they could get just one more quality start every 5 starts. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my thought on that. It's just the Stroman conversation tied into the Yankees conversation shows just how far down the giving up path we are with the Jays.
Yeah.
Listener questions.
Sean Speller, shout out. This guy wrote in a whole bunch. First, Natalie Portman as Thor. Tackle your thoughts.
Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, it could be great. Mm-hmm. You know, I do believe, you know, like when you hear the stories of men are angry that a woman is in the male role. I always wonder what the actual numbers are. Or is it a small amount that's loud? Sort of like when there's the video of Tom Brady jumping in, like doing a small cliff dive with his daughter, and they're holding hands and it's awkward, and it was an awkward entry. And then apparently there was outrage by how Tom Brady was fathering his daughter. My thought was, I bet it's not really outrage. I bet it's a small amount that are just ignorant and loud.
Ricky Gervais makes a great point about this, how the mainstream media is so ravenous for scandal that anytime somebody says anything, they will jump on it and say, people are saying this.
Yeah.
Which is technically true.
It is.
Some are, but very few.
Yeah.
And nobody credible.
No.
Right. And Gervais's line is a great one. He said, if we're going to do this, we might as well canvass the bathroom stalls around the country to see what people are writing in them.
Yeah.
And say, people are writing this.
Perfect.
It's such a great way to put it.
What a great analogy. So I'm always skeptical. There's so much outrage in the next Star Wars movie. The lead character is a woman. And the racists hate that there's a black guy. I'm like, well, it's probably a small amount. And they're racist, so they're just going to do them. But now they don't really have a lot of influence.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know what the numbers actually are.
So
I'm not saying that's the case, although I think what Ricky Gervais described does happen in certain instances. Mm-hmm. And we have to get a scandal every day because somebody always doesn't like something.
Yeah.
I think what we've learned about racism is there's way more racists than anyone gave. Like, we're discussing whether or not Trump's actually going to win in 2020.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It is.
It's absolutely, literally the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
The fact that it seems to be going down to the wire, the way the polling works.
It shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't even be a contest.
No.
He shouldn't be president. Anyway, yeah. My point is, as for the Twitter conversation, I see these as two completely separate things because people just like to beat their chests on Twitter and it's stupid.
It is.
And when morons talk this way, like who
cares?
Part
you,
of me,
you got to ignore the morons.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Part of me says yes, but another part of me says no, because when we ignore the morons, they quietly are allowed to go about their business and they vote.
But they, yeah, okay, but they're always going to, you're not going to stop them from voting. And when you go on Twitter to condemn racism, which is, you know, bold stance, it's not like the bigot is reading Twitter going, huh, maybe I should change my opinion.
You're right.
Most of the time, and not all the case, most of the time, the people on Twitter, the racists, not every time, but, you know, usually they're kind of just sad. They probably don't have a job of much consequence. And they're just like angry and usually not that intelligent.
Okay, so there's two things here I want to point out. One is there's some truth to what you're describing.
And not 100%, but...
And the sidebar to that is that the pushback just emboldens them because they're looking for the fight.
Yeah.
And that seems to give people a sense of purpose, as dark and weird as it is. But then I also think there's another kind of racism, and it's institutional, and it's people with big money who do it, and it's people like the GOP that redistrict so that people of a color don't have the same kind of voting poll that white people have. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and I think they would love you to believe that it's just a dude on his couch with a laptop who's masturbating and watching, you know, like his favorite white supremacy videos, and that's how he spends his time. There is that constituency.
Yeah.
But there's also a very powerful group out there that controls a lot of things that...
Find the... Go after... Spend all your time on the powerful groups.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree that one is clearly more important than the other. Although, unfortunately, the one group knows how to mobilize the other really, really well.
As for it...
Thor 4. Oh, sorry, we got away from this.
Marvel's on a hot streak. I can't wait to see Natalie Portman. I hope it succeeds.
I think it'll be funny. And I think the key is that it's going to be funny.
Well, Ragnarok
was funny. And I imagine they're going to go further... Taika Waititi, am I saying his? I never get his name right. But the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
He's back. And in the comics, for people who think like this is just Marvel being politically correct, this happens in the comics.
It happens in the comics.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Thor isn't a person. Thor is almost like a designation. Mm-hmm. Whoever is worthy may wield the hammer.
Yeah.
And Jane Foster in the comics gets the hammer. So I really like it.
Yeah, that's great.
I really like the idea of it. It might stink.
Might stink. You know, it's like the all-female cast of Ghostbusters stunk. And then a couple of years before that, Bridesmaids was the funniest movie of the year. And then like the year after, Spy, with Melissa McCarthy, to me was the funniest movie of the year. Some movies are awesome. Some movies stink.
It's so weird. I watched the all-female Ghostbusters the other day with my daughter. It's really not good.
It's not good.
Poorly directed.
Bill Murray's horrible in it.
He's terrible.
Like his character and the writing.
The writing is shoddy, the direction is awful, and...
And you're rooting for it, because like, wait a minute, you all are funny people. You all are real talented.
And the villain sucks.
Yeah.
That bellhop guy.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Terrible. All around.
Oh, and the one thing that really jumps out, and this is another thing that pissed me off, is the corporate tie-ins. Watch it again, just for that. Even if you have to fast forward it, it's like once every 10 minutes, like the Kate McKinnon character is eating Pringles.
Yeah.
And someone says, how can you be eating those at a time like this? And she goes, you try putting these delicious things down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm putting my finger down my throat and making that sound.
Which sport would you be most excited to watch if steroids were not only accepted, but encouraged?
Horse racing count?
Ooh.
I imagine horses probably. They have Lasix.
Yeah. For me, it's an easy answer. People were throwing out there, it's the Olympics. But I'm going to take it a step further. Because, of course, it's the Olympics. I want to see how far a discus and, you know, and all that can go. But I'm going to add to this the sport I always say needs to be added to the Olympics. There's only one sport.
Hmm.
We always love, like, it's always coolest to see who's the fastest man, who's the strongest man on the planet. I want to know who's the strongest country. I've always wanted tug of war to be a Olympic event. Because I want Canada versus the States. States versus Russia. Norway versus Sweden. I imagine they don't get along. Like, I want to see all this. So not only do I want to see tug of war, I want steroids tug of war. And the middle pit, it's a mud pit. But in that mud pit, one alligator.
One alligator.
Just one
hungry? Hungry alligator?
Of course it's a hungry alligator. Right. But don't worry, PETA, we will feed that alligator. Plenty of snacks ready for it.
The team from Serbia.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, exactly. I could see them being an early
Who knows?
They sound like they would win.
Yeah.
Whenever I watch World's Strongest Man.
Magnus von, yeah, it's always.
Magnus Magnuson?
Yeah, it's always.
Or is it Magnus Magnuson?
Magnus von Magnuson.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds like Dr. Doom's alter ego.
How was that guy, like, what were the odds that Magnus Magnuson was not going to be strong?
Was not going to be a librarian.
It's like Strongy McBoatface
yeah.
was his name. my answer to your question is, I assume all the sports now have steroids, so it's a meaningless question.
Mm-hmm.
Except that, do you remember when we were kids and we would play that track and field game, the video game where you yeah. stand up and you would have to bang on the buttons?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They should put that in the Olympics and let people do steroids and see how fast you can run if your arms are pumped Ooh. By steroids. Because when you were a kid, you would try any method you could to bang the buttons in order
yeah.
so that your character would go faster.
Mm-hmm.
I knew guys who would do like the left, right, left shuffle where yeah. you would just take your hand and pass it back and forth.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I always felt that I, as a weakling, was not allowed to enjoy video games the way I could. But what if I would add steroids as an 11-year-old?
That would have helped.
Totally would have helped.
Absolutely.
All right, so track and field.
All right. Another thing that, like, if we're going to talk about enhancement, if you want to enhance your life, then you're going to want to make sure that you've got all your legal issues set up and done.
Good point.
Lawyer is Jeff Pollock. His email is website is jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. The phone number, you probably might need it, 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. It's like a pizza number. Very simple. He's our lawyer. He should be yours. He's great with us. Total legal stability, something I never thought I could have in my life. Plus, every now and then I get to say, well, my lawyer said, which is cool to say. So he's our lawyer. If you need one, I cannot recommend him high enough. This isn't one of those things where we don't know who he is or, hey, go with this group. So jeffpollock.com.
The magic foursome, when you know you've made it, you have a lawyer.
Yep.
A doctor,
yep.
A chef, and a driver.
Well, I'm going to get rid of the driver. I'm going to do a mechanic.
Really?
Well, because there's always this insecurity when you take your car in that you know, it's like, well, you know, I only need one thing fixed. And then they say, oh, no, you need this, this, and this, and this. And there's always this insecurity that you're getting duped by your whatever you take the mechanic. A car mechanic is, I would love to, I have a good mechanic, like one that I trust. Because he's not greedy. So I'm like, oh, thank God. I have a good mechanic.
If you could have somebody help you, would you rather have a personal assistant,
mm-hmm.
a personal chef, or a personal driver?
I would take the personal chef. I'm very organized. I don't need a personal assistant. I'm a good driver. I don't need a driver. But I'll take the chef because they'll be able to cook me healthy meals. You know, better than I can cook healthy meals.
And believe me when I say, they get pretty dull if you don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
In a hurry.
Yeah, exactly.
I would take the personal assistant because they could get rid of all the crappy stuff you don't want to do every day, like mm-hmm. go to the dry cleaner, take your library books back, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Matt's laughing, and you can't see this, but he's laughing when I mention library books because my house is awash in library books.
Yes.
I have 25 out right now and 6 on hold.
You're not going to read them all.
I'm not going to read any of them.
Yeah. It's very.
I just love books.
It's very aspirational.
I love books. I just don't like reading.
Yeah. We like to hold them and go, oh, look at this. Like,
imagine if I read this.
Yeah, exactly.
How smart I would be. I've got one called The Age of Surveillance Capitalism by Shoshana Zuboff
mm-hmm.
from the Harvard School of Business.
Mm-hmm.
It's 700 pages, Matt.
You're not going to read that.
Matt, I can barely lift it.
Yeah. Jesus. I'm trying to look at any other the questions. Corey Struthers, shout out to Corey, worked with him at Sun TV. Considering how football and soccer is the most soccer/football, but meaning soccer, is the most global sport, I find it interesting how the Yankees and Cowboys still are more valuable than Real Madrid or Barca. Oh, that must be Barcelona. Ha! The Cowboys, once again, are number one on the Forbes list of most valuable franchise in the world, which is crazy when you think the Cowboys haven't been to the NFC Championship game since 1995.
It's also crazy when you think how they have almost no international imprint.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They don't. I mean, even the Yankees, you can argue there's lots of countries where baseball is super popular, particularly when you go to Asia and you can Japan, Korea, there's, you know, all throughout the Caribbean. But nobody plays American football anywhere but the States.
Yeah, it's true. It is like Jerry's World. Damn. It is remarkable. I was shocked when I saw it was number one. I expected a couple soccer you know, soccer organizations would be ahead of it. But no, apparently the Dallas Cowboys are still number one.
I don't think that that can ever change.
Mm-hmm.
And by ever, I mean, like, say, within our lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, football, which for us is really the only definition of ever that
yeah, that's
kind of matters.
I really care about. I mean, good God, 400 years from now, you know, what do I care? by the way, at 60 Carlton Street wrote in, 5-hour pod, only Marner contract talk.
Ooh, I like that.
No. Moving on from that. I don't want to talk about it. You really want to talk about it?
I got a couple things I want to ask you.
Yep.
Jalen Ramsey showing up to Jaguars camp in an armored car.
Awesome. Brinks truck. Great.
So good, right?
So
good. He intends to get paid. He showed up to camp.
Yeah.
One of his teammates, I can't remember who right now, didn't bother showing up. Guys hold out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Guys do not always show up in a Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Letting the team know what their expectations are.
I believe Reggie Wayne, every year, the former receiver of the Colts, used to do that. And one year showed up in a construction truck because he's there to go to work. Like, and I think like every year try to do it. This one is great. The Brinks truck, awesome. Love it.
And knowing the NFL, there'll be a 10-yard penalty waiting for the first play of the Jacksonville Jaguars regular season.
Mm-hmm. The
illegal showing up to training camp. 10 yards, first down.
They don't love fun in football.
They hate fun. Yeah. Doesn't seem to be hurting them, though.
No, it doesn't. Nor it never will.
All right. So I got a couple questions for you.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit about movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on the Marvel Phase 4 that's coming out. The next phase of Marvel movies and TV shows. Is there anything that jumps out at you that's exciting or not exciting?
TV shows, I don't care.
Because you won't have the streaming services, so you can't watch them.
And right? Even though I do, there's so much TV on. I'm just watching The Office now.
Would you get Disney Channel just to watch the Marvel shows? Would you get the Disney streaming service?
No. No, it's just that's not my relationship. I only every couple of years I get into a new TV show. It's like only one.
Right.
The movies I'm excited about. I'm excited to see Black Widow. I'm glad there's Black Panther 2, Captain Strange. No, what's
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange. Thank you. I'm excited for all of those. Like for those movies to come out. And I always I know we decry how and there's truth to this, that the big hero movies can sometimes kill the $40 million movie. And all the time. I wish that didn't exist. But I like having those movies out there. I like checking them out. So I was excited about that.
I'm really excited about The Eternals because they promised to go full Jack Kirby. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Thor 4, as we discussed.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi. Hopefully it's good. And I love the fact that a Canadian guy was cast in the lead. And I'm pretty excited about the TV show WandaVision because they say they're going to get really weird with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to see what their definition of weird is.
Yeah.
What I'm not excited about is the new Doctor Strange movie because they say it's going to be a horror movie. And can you see Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange in a scary movie?
I love this.
Really? This sounds like shit.
Oh, it could absolutely be. But why not try?
Because it's probably going to be shit.
Here's the thing. If this was the last superhero movie that they were going to make for years, then I don't want them to do it. But there's every year there's going to be a wave of them. So every now and then, try something different. I didn't hate the blue puck in Fox.
Yeah.
I appreciated that they tried. And I think more people that are upset were from Canada and the States. I love horror movies. I love superhero movies. Give it a shot. And if it's bad, we'll move. You know what? You know what? Monday Night Football? It survived Dennis Miller. I personally loved it.
It survived Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, another I personally loved.
It survived Rush Limbaugh.
Remember that one? That was Countdown. That was he was on Countdown.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was on Countdown. Very short lived. I'm excited.
It just feels like the wrong property though, because I was hoping they were going to go the Jim Starlin mid 70s Marvel on acid approach.
Well, they might. They might.
Well, they did in the first one.
Yeah.
The first one was like a mind trip.
And if this one fails, then they can go back to there if they want.
Well, it's
Thor
true.
Thor used to be serious. Then they found out it'd be fun.
That's an excellent point. It's just I love Doctor Strange and you get closer to some titles than others.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like you and Eli Manning.
Oh.
When Stephen A. Smith says that he sucks now, doesn't it hurt a little bit more than when they rip Mark Sanchez?
Yeah. By the way. Mark Sanchez once threw 3 touchdown passes in a playoff game to beat Tom Brady. So Rex Ryan.
That was the year they went to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, they went to the AFC Championship in back-to-back years. In the playoffs, Mark Sanchez has bested. Of course, it was more the defense. Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. But think about just again, noted foot fetishist.
Rex Ryan. Right?
Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez beat Belichick and Brady in a playoff game. That happened in our lifetime.
Do you remember how vital that rivalry was for that short period of time?
For those like two,
it was 2 years.
No more than three. Yeah.
Yeah. That's too bad. You know what would be a good top five for next week? Would be top five busts who weren't really busts.
Yeah, like Joe Smith kind of thing. Like,
yeah, well, Joe Smith, I think Sanchez is a great one because people think of him as the butt fumble guy and the guy who couldn't cut it in New York, but that's not totally true, is it?
Trent Dilfer.
Right.
Vinny Testaverde. Of course, I don't think
people... Vinny Testaverde is a good
but
one.
But I don't think Vinny thinks of him as a bust anymore because he had a nice...
Was Jeff George a bust? Maybe no. Compared to what people thought he would be.
But he had a long career. He had a lot of yards.
He played with a lot of teams. I think he played for like 12 different teams or 9 different teams. Some crazy number like that.
Ooh, by the way, before I continue, you were talking about movies. What do you have to buy to get into a movie?
A ticket.
Hey, SeatGiant.ca. They are one of our Canadian partners on this show. If you need a concert ticket, sporting events, everything and anything in North America, SeatGiant.ca. And when you get your ticket there, which you should, you go to the discount code section, you type in Bob and Matt, at checkout, you'll save money. We get a small kickback, which is great because putting the podcast up on Audio Boom, shout out to Audio Boom, it ain't free. SeatGiant.ca. Continue, sir.
Well, do you got any more listener questions? And maybe we can and then circle back to my top five.
No, let's get your top five.
You sure?
Well, Sean Speller, fast food wine pairings. What goes best with a double Baconator from Wendy's? Clearly, you can't answer that now. Merlot.
On any count. Okay, so hang on. I'm going to actually throw this out because I think this is an indispensable. This is a great question.
Yeah.
And we've never properly tackled this. I throw you
fast
food favorites,
and
you pair them up with wines.
Sure.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay, so that's very salty. That's very salt. Okay, because to me, it's about the skin.
Crispy, salty, greasy.
Greasy. Okay, so I'm going to want something with high acid that's going to cut through it. I'll go with Old World. I'm going to go New Zealand Pinot Noir. I'm going with something a little bit more body than...
You told me to get Marlboro.
No. Marlboro, that's for your Sauvignon Blancs. I'm going to go Central Otago Pinot Noir. I need acid, but I need something a little bit more body than Burgundy.
We'll get back to this in a second, but what do you think would sell better? Kentucky Fried Chicken labeling their chicken extra tasty crispy or salty, greasy, crispy?
Depends where you are. I think on the coasts, go the first one. In the middle, go the second one.
Are you wearing shoes when you eat it?
That's a great question.
Okay, so let's go Wendy's. Baconator. We did that one already.
Yeah, Merlot. I'm going to go Merlot.
Right, okay, Big Mac.
Big Mac. So you got the beef. You got the special sauce. I'm gonna get a little spice there. I'm going to go something a little bit different. I'm going to go with a well-made... I'm going to go Malbec, but from southern France, from the Cahors region, just because I prefer it versus what you get in Argentina.
All right. Well, you can always rewind this and write them down. Yeah, pepperoni pizza.
Oh, that's easy. Barbera. Barbera from northern Italy. Give me, the high acid Barbera grape. There's a reason why Barbera is made there. It's in the land of Italy and the land of pizza.
Poutine.
Well, let's go something Canadian. Let's match this up. You know, let's match this up with gravy, with cheese. I'm going to go with a Stratus Syrah.
Stratus?
Stratus Winery, which is in
Where's
Niagara.
Where's that from?
Niagara Winery, and they make some killer Syrah.
All right, let me think. What are some other classic fast foods? It's been a while for me. What would be good with a Subway, an assorted sub sandwich from Subway?
Well, first, take that sub and throw it in the garbage. Let's see.
You more of a BMT guy?
I don't like Subway.
Do you want to make it Quiznos then?
Yeah.
Or you just don't like...
Well, the mom and pop sub. Let's go the mom and pop sub. I just don't like the big...
Sure. Can we go Mr. Sub from back in the day?
We'll go old school. Mr. Sub. There's a lot of different flavors and stuff. I'm going to want something versatile. Let's go Beaujolais.
That's
Cru Beaujolais, not Nouveau, Cru Beaujolais.
McNuggets.
Ooh, chicken McNuggets. Let's get a Sonoma Chardonnay. Let's get something dirty with a lot of oak. We're gonna go with Sonoma Chardonnay.
And the final one, let's go with Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
Filet-O-Fish. We're gonna go with
something white, I hope.
Oh yeah. We're gonna go with something white. You know what? We're gonna go with Chablis.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. And as I say, we should probably write all these up for our Instagram account and send them out so people can have a list.
As I'm uploading the podcast, you can upload that on the Instagram account.
Done and done.
All right, Bob, we got about 3 minutes left.
All right. So my top five, it was the anniversary, released whenever it was back in the day. Jaws 3 came out like 35 years ago or something like that to the other day.
Right.
But I sent you a note. Why don't we do the worst movie in an otherwise great franchise top five?
Yeah.
So Jaws 3 will take the cake because that's one of the worst movies ever made. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
The original Superman series, Superman 3 with Richard Pryor.
Oh.
The first two are terrific.
Yeah.
But number three.
But there's part four where he saves Earth.
The Quest for Peace.
Quest for Peace. At least
I was in a band called Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Man, their live stuff was great. At least he had Richard Pryor, but man, that was a waste of Richard Pryor.
Okay. That's the thing. See, it beats Superman 4 because watching Richard Pryor humiliate himself in that way. Yeah, that's
probably good. Did have computers.
I hated Iron Man 2. I thought that was real garbage.
I thought Iron Man 3 was even worse.
You know what?
Ben Kingsley basically playing Ringo.
Yeah, it was really
stupid. They both were bad.
They're both terrible. Yeah. 2 is usually acknowledged as the worst one simply because of Mickey Rourke's performance. But I'm going to go with Amazing Spider-Man 2. The second one where he fights Jamie Foxx's Electro.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's horrible as a film, but also the death of Gwen Stacy is kind of shoehorned in at the end.
Yep.
And it's maybe the most powerful comic storyline in history.
Yeah. It did not get the respect it deserved.
You know, there's this one moment with Gwen Stacy in the comics where she drops off the bridge after Goblin knocks into her with his glider. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man tries to catch her and he shoots the web. It hits her in the foot. And there's this horrible moment where you just, you get those little word bubbles. Mm-hmm. It says snap.
Yeah.
Right? Because her neck breaks. But you realize it was the web that killed her.
Mm.
It wasn't the hit. It wasn't the fall. But his effort to save her killed her.
Oof.
Which is the most heartbreaking thing ever. Okay. Number three, Good Day to Die Hard.
Yep.
Just piece of shit.
Yep.
All around. Number two, Rocky V.
Yes.
Because
Tommy Gunn,
the whole fight with Tommy Morrison, the fact that the finale happens in the street.
Yeah. Horrible.
And because the rest of the movies are so incredible, that one just really drops off the table. And finally, I just wanted you and I to talk about Jason Takes Manhattan, Friday the 13th, Part 8.
We're going to have to do that in the next one.
Okay, because it is maybe the worst movie ever made, which also makes it the best movie ever made.
I would throw out, we don't have time, but one of something with Jar Jar Binks or Crystal Skull.
Attack of the Clones almost made it. Yeah. Crystal Skull almost made it.
We'll discuss next time because it was a summer movie. Jason Takes Manhattan.
Right, and we'll probably talk Tarantino in the next one because I imagine by then we'll both have seen
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah.
All right, buddy boy.
Bob, we will chat soon. We may or may not be on next week, depending on summer hiatus stuff. There's a lot of vacations coming up, but we'll get a podcast.
We're either on next week or in 3 weeks.
Yeah. The podcast, there might be a bit of a summer hiatus. We'll keep you posted online. Bob, talk to you soon.
Take care, Matt. Ch-ch-ca.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.